copper, zinc, nickel, and a merger.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. In the mining world, there is talk this morning of a possible merger so big they'd feel it in the steel industry. Mining giant Xstrata, which is listed in the UK, wants to join with South Africa's Anglo American. Anglo, however, does not seem keen on the idea. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
The merger would create a company worth around $68 billion. Analysts say the deal could save hundreds of millions a year in lower costs and taxes. But Anglo American has resisted Xstrata's advances before and is thought likely to do so again. The South African company believes it's in better financial shape than its suitor, and it fears it might become the junior partner in any alliance. Chris Hughes is with the financial website Breaking Views. He says this deal's also likely to face stiff political opposition.
Anglo-American is clearly the corporate crown jewel in South Africa, and you know this deal would be very difficult for South Africa to just wave through.
The steel industry is also likely to feel uneasy about the proposed deal. It would create the world's second biggest producer of coal used in steel making. That would give the coal producers more bargaining power. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Some people have been talking recovery lately, but this morning the World Bank cut its 2009 growth forecast. The global lender says the world economy will shrink by 2.9% this year, and reduced investment in developing countries is going to mean more poverty. Major European stock markets are reflecting pessimism this morning, down by 2%. Earlier today, Asian markets were mostly higher. On Friday, the Dow ended a downer week by losing 16 more points and closing at 8,539. It turns out Mama did not take Kodachrome away. Kodak did. This morning, Eastman Kodak announced it's retiring its oldest film because of declining customer demand. There's only one commercial lab in the world that still processes Kodachrome. The city of Bozeman, Montana, raised eyebrows last week when it asked job applicants to hand over their usernames and passwords to Facebook and MySpace, YouTube, and other sites. City officials said, "It's not mandatory. We're just asking. If you don't want to share the information, that's okay." Privacy advocates were not reassured. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler says workers should not be surprised.
Do you really want a prospective employer to know that?
I've been having some medical problems.
That's from a YouTube video by a resident of Bozeman, Montana, who also shares,
I sleep naked, and I'm naked a lot.
Giving an employer the password to your social networking accounts may seem crazy, but employers may be able to delve into your online life without your help.
Job candidates should expect that recruiters and hiring managers are looking at their social networking profile often before they even contact them for an interview.
That's Jeremiah Ao Yang, a social computing analyst with Forrester Research.
Even if you remove content later, such as those party pictures from last Saturday night in Facebook, you can't guarantee just because you turn them off that the content is still gone.
He says digital ghosts of photos or web pages can survive online for years, even after you delete them from your machine. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
If you're looking for travel or shopping advice, you might go online, see what the blogosphere says about a product. But are you sure your favorite blogger is not getting a kickback? Over the holidays, for example, some bloggers got $500 gift cards to shop at Kmart and write about their experiences. Now the Federal Trade Commission is considering forcing bloggers to disclose their conflicts of interest. New rules are expected later this summer.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thriven Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thriven.com. And by Reuters, offering breaking news, exclusive stories, and insights that impact today's financial markets. More at newsfirst.reuters.com.
The hard times down on Wall Street are being felt in Uptown Manhattan, in one of America's great black communities. As Kate Ellis of American Radio Works reports, it's a neighborhood that only recently got on its feet.
So what can I show you today, my dear, as you're rushing about?
Princess Jenkins woos a customer browsing her collection of designer clothes. She's run this shop, the Brownstone, for 11 years. Lately, foot traffic to her store is slower than usual, And it's never been easy convincing people who live in Harlem to shop in Harlem.
Most people who lived in Harlem over the past 30 years are used to leaving their community to go to shop because guess what? There was nothing here. So you're breaking molds when you ask people, hey, stay in a community where you live to shop because they haven't been shopping here.
With the recession mowing down businesses, the Greater Harlem Chamber of Commerce is running a Shop Local campaign. But it might not be enough. The chamber predicts that by the end of June, one-third of Harlem's small businesses will go under. That could be a crushing blow to a community whose prosperity is already fragile. Over the past decade, the strong economy and Wall Street boom were a big boost for Harlem. Higher tax revenues and new investment flowed into a community that has long battled poverty and blight. Abandoned housing got renovated and new stores opened up. Jenny Schutz is an urban policy expert at New York University.
We particularly worry about these neighborhoods in transition because it takes a long economic expansion for them to get on the upswing, and things just start looking good, and then the recession hits.
Dr. Leon Merrick is familiar with that. He's had a solid dental practice here for nearly 20 years. Nowadays, his patients, when they come, often bring a daily dose of bad news.
They'll come into the office, and they'll look fine until they sit in the chair, and then the gleam in the eye and the twinkle in the voice is no longer there. And then they'll say, I lost my job. And they're just sad. They're sad.
Merrick says it's like a syndrome. And with the economy still struggling, he says, there's no telling how long that syndrome will last. In Harlem, this is Kate Ellis for Marketplace.
You'll find more coverage of how the recession is reshaping the economy when you visit our website and click on The Big Shift. Stories there of Indian tribes embracing wind power, debate over whether rich people hurt or help the rest of us. That and more is at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thanks for tuning in this morning. Have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.